the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Cakes Storage 102, Debugging Cakes Short on Storage Conditions. Today's presenters are Sarah Bertram and Eric Hobb. Sarah has been with IBM for 26 years and is a member of the Cakes Level 2 support team since 1996. She enjoys working with customers and looking at thumbs. She specializes in the storage area of Cakes. Eric has been with IBM for 3 years and is a member of the Cakes Level 2 support team. He graduated from the Pennsylvania State University with a bachelor degree in computer engineering. He enjoys working with customers on various Cakes problems. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Eric and Sarah.
Thank you very much, Joseph, and we want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll get started here, moving on to slide 2. Here, we just want to go over what we're going to be discussing. And as you may know or not know, we kind of did a Storage 101 pitch last November. Anyway, we're going to kind of review some things that you should already kind of be familiar with. Then, obviously, we're going to get into what is a short on storage in CICS. Then we're going to touch on something called sympathy sickness, which you all may be familiar with, but, you know, sometimes storage kind of gets a bad rap. And so we're going to touch on that. Then we're going to just talk about, you know, the steps CICS takes, basically handling the get main request that eventually could lead to short on storage conditions. And then really the focus of our you know, presentation is going to be kind of talking about something we do every day, is that's looking at dumps and doing analysis of these short on storage. So we're going to kind of go through a general problem analysis steps, and then we're actually going to apply those by showing you some examples from dumps. And the last thing we're just going to briefly touch on are some storage tuning parameters that, you know, we've seen affect short on storage conditions. So, moving on to slide 3, as I mentioned, back in November, Eric and I presented kind of an initial look at storage called Storage 101. And in that presentation, we tried to kind of give a basis for how Cakes Storage Manager handles its dynamic storage areas. You know, we touched on the various DSAs that were broken down into and what subpools are put in these DSAs. We talked about the SIP parameters and, of course, touched on the various control blocks that Cakes uses to manage the DSAs. And on the presentation, if you haven't had a chance to look at that, we've included the link that will take you to the presentation and audio. So in this presentation, you know, we're just touching that we're going to be utilizing some of that information. Obviously, you have an expectation. You already know what the DSAs are. And, you know, we'll be touching on some of the control blocks that we referenced back then in that presentation. Okay, so moving on to slide 4. And this is kind of a, before we get started really into this, we just wanted to kind of touch on some things. And, you know, we look at dumps every day. We, you know, see that short on storage conditions come in many, many different flavors, types, and sizes. Basically, you know, there's very many ways to approach them also. So what Eric and I are presenting here, you know, doesn't mean it's the only way to go about approaching them. And we also want to just kind of highlight that the dumps and examples we're using are going to be relatively and definitely much simpler than most of your guys' environments. We know that your environments are much, you know, more complex, but here we're just trying to kind of give a basis. So I just want to say that up front. And then one other kind of fact when doing short on storage analysis is a lot of times we're just handed a dump, of course, at the time of the problem. And one of the questions that we would like to know, or, you know, a lot of times we ask you guys, is we don't know what the normal storage usage is, right? So sometimes we even have to ask you for a dump when, you know, things are normal to try to better understand what's possibly abnormal. So these are just kind of some things that we wanted to say up front with regards to the short on storage. So moving on to slide five.
So slide five, since this presentation is about debugging short on storage, we figure we'd start off with, well, what does it mean to be short on storage? And in the most simplest of terms, Kix will go short on storage when a GetMe request for Kix DSA cannot be satisfied. And when this happens, Kix will issue one of the following messages. You would either get a DFH SM0131 saying that Kix is under stress, short on storage below the 16 megabyte line, or the DFH SM0133, Kix is under stress above the 16 megabyte line. And Kix can go short on storage independently in any of the DSAs. When you get a dump and you're short on storage, you may see tasks suspended for the CDSA or the ECDSA or any of the DSAs, depending on the subpool that the GetMe request was for. So going on to slide six, so Kix will report an individual DSA as being SOS. However, that does not necessarily mean that that DSA is the source of the problem. And what I mean by that are kind of explained in these two examples here. So example one, you know, you could have a dump and it could show that the UDSA is flagged as SOS. But when you investigate the dump a little bit further, you'll see that the CDSA is using a majority of the DSA. So you would want to start with looking at the CDSA first to understand why is it using so much storage. And so even though the UDSA is flagged as SOS, that's probably not the problem and just the victim of the CDSA using more storage than it normally does. And the second example, we have the EUDSA is reporting an SOS, but when you look at the dump, you see that there's plenty of free storage. For example, you could have 250 meg of unallocated DSA, or EDSA, meaning that, you know, it hasn't been associated with any individual DSA. It's completely free. But yet, Kix is SOS. Well, what this means is that there must be a GetMeMe request that is greater than 250 meg, and therefore Kix cannot satisfy it, and therefore it will put out the DFH SM0133 message. So going on to slide seven. So on slide seven, we're going to talk about sympathy sickness. As Sarah had kind of mentioned, storage can sometimes get the bad rap as being a problem, when really it is just a victim of some other situation. It's getting sympathy sickness of some other problem. So, for example, you know, these are some examples we have of when storage could be suffering some sympathy sickness. So, for example, you could have a looping task that within this loop, it's doing a GetMe request, and eventually it's going to exhaust all of the available DSA. And at this point, Kix will put out the message saying it's SOS, but really when you look at the problem, there's no really issue with the way you have anything defined or any storage parameters, but the problem is actually the bad logic in your application causing it to get into this loop. Another way you can experience sympathy sickness is you have like a network slowdown. Let's say you have a Kix region that is making web service requests to some service provider, and the service provider is not responding, or you have somehow something's wrong in the network. Well, now you could have a buildup of these outstanding requests in the Kix system that grow over time, and now the number of the volume of these tasks just stuck waiting to hear back from the provider, you could go SOS. The same kind of applies for a resource contention. Let's say you have tasks that are trying to get in some type of deadly embrace over a resource, and then you have a buildup of tasks that way, leading to an SOS. Another way you can get an SOS problem is sort of like even storage overlays. So let's say you have your application and it gets the length for the GetMe request from a certain field, and let's say this field gets overlaid with garbage data, and then when the application makes the exact Kix GetMe request, it passes it that bad length, and Kix will then try to issue, you know, will do what it's told, and it will try to get, I mean, whatever it was given, and that bad value cannot be satisfied. So therefore, Kix would go SOS. And another way that Kix can suffer some sympathy sickness is just through, like, poor tuning. You could have your EDSA limb set too low. You can have storage, program storage being get made from below the line. It could be above the line. Those type of things where if you just tune your systems a little bit better, you could help prevent these short on storage conditions. So going on to slide 8.
So, you know, here we just want to kind of talk about what action Kix takes leading basically up to an SOS. And basically, what does it do when a get main comes in? So whenever an application or Kix does a get main for storage, we're going to know what subpool, and we kind of talked about that in Storage 101, but we're going to know what subpool the request is for, and we're going to associate that subpool with an individual DSA. And the first thing Kix does is we're going to look at the information for that particular DSA, and one of the information we keep track of is the largest contiguous free area, meaning an extent's already been allocated to the DSA, and some storage has been handled out, and when we do this, we keep track of the largest contiguous area left. So if this get main request that I'm trying to satisfy is smaller or can fit into this largest contiguous area, great, I'm going to hand it out. But let's say it can't. Let's say the request is greater than the largest contiguous. The next thing Kix is going to now look for is he's going to go look at his unallocated DSA, either if the request is for below, it would be the DSA, if above, EDSA. So he's going to see if he has any unallocated extents. And if he does, he's going to try to satisfy this request by giving either one or multiple extents to the particular DSA in order to satisfy the request. So now let's say, you know, when we attempt to do that, that there is not any unallocated or enough unallocated extents to satisfy it. The next thing Kix would do is we would go now and try to steal an extent. So once an extent is handed to a particular DSA, it basically stays associated under that DSA, even if it's entirely free. But CICS will steal it and can steal it and give it to another DSA, but it has to be totally free. So if by chance we find there's a DSA that's totally free in another DSA that's totally free, we would now move it to this new DSA and satisfy the request that way. And then another thing Kix will try to do in order to satisfy this is something called program compression. Now, this only affects certain of our DSAs, like the shared and the RDSA, but basically what program compression is, it will take any not in use, any programs that are loaded but they're not being used, and of course are non-resident, and they'll delete them in hopes that it will free up enough storage that might be able to help satisfy that get main request. So basically, when all of those steps are done, and if we still can't satisfy the request, that is when, moving on to slide 9, CICS would put out that DFH-SM 131 or 133 message. And as you probably all know, it's not good when CICS is short on storage because no new tasks can be attached. The ICS, you know, will sit there and we will allow the current tasks running to continue running in the hopes that they are able to complete and possibly, you know, once they terminate, they would free up storage that could possibly now allow you to satisfy the get main. And if this does happen where we're able to eventually recover because tasks going away, and we would then put out the messages indicating this, and I've listed them there, the DFH-SM-0132 and the 134, depending on if it was for below or above the line. So these are just some of the steps that basically CICS internally takes to try to satisfy these get main requests. And really, I just want to say, you know, short on storage, typically you don't want to go in too much, but I've seen systems where they can, you know, go in and out of short and surgery, not have it be a real big problem. So, again, it just depends on each individual system. So moving on to slide 10.
So when you're trying to debug a short on storage dump, there's some basic steps that you can almost apply in every situation. And what we did here was kind of lay those out for you. And we will then use these later in the presentation when we look at some real examples. So, you know, basically the first thing you want to do is preferably get a dump on the message that kicks issues when it goes short on storage. But, you know, I know that the default action is not to take a dump, and you may not have it set up to take a dump, and when you do have the problem, it's too late. Well, at that point, you can just take a console dump, and usually that would suffice. But a dump on the message is definitely the preferable thing to do. And once you have the dump in IPCS, the first thing you want to do is format out the storage manager domain, and you can do that with that verb exit I have listed. Then once you're in the storage manager domain, the first bit of information at the top of the output is your summary information. And even though you'll probably, let's say, if you got a dump from a console, you may not know if you're short on storage below or above the line. So that would be the first thing you want to figure out. And you can do this by looking at the current limit and the total for the DSA and the EDSA. And then it'll also, one of them will be flagged as SOS. So that way you'll know if the problem is above the line or below the line. And then once you know if the problem is above the line or below the line, you'll want to look at the individual DSAs for above the line or below the line. And then capture the sizes of those individual DSAs. So let's say, for example, you find that the DSA below the line is SOS. Well, then you'll want to look at the UDSA, the CDSA, the SDSA, and the RDSA, and see how much storage has been allocated to each of those DSAs. And then you'll want to focus on the individual DSA that is using the most first. Now, granted, you know, you may not always have DSA that does stand out. It's just the fact of storage. And then this is where it would be good to have knowledge of what is normal in your system. So if, you know, a particular DSA is using more than normal but not really using a majority, then that may be the problem. So going on to slide 12, so once you know the particular DSA you want to focus on, you'll want to then investigate that further to see how the storage is being used within that individual DSA. So, for example, if the suspect DSA is either the UDSA or the EUDSA, well, we know from Storage 101 that those DSAs are for task storage only. You'll want to probably go to the task subpool summary to then investigate the storage usage for all the tasks in the system. And then if it just so happens that if the suspect DSA is any of the other KIX DSAs, then you'll probably need to go to the domain subpool summary to understand how the storage is being used within those particular subpools. So those are just some basic steps that I think would apply for any SOS dump, and that's a good way to get you started into understanding where the problem is. So what we'll do now is look at some real examples, apply these steps, and just show you some steps that we take when debugging SOS dumps. So going on to slide 14.
So in the first example that we're going to kind of show you, we have a dump that was taken for an SM0133, so another problem with above-the-line DSA. And this is going to kind of be a classic example where once we go through it, we're going to find the condition has been caused by a particular subpool in one of the DSAs that has just grown extremely large and stands out to us. So moving on to 15, as we mentioned, we always want to start out looking at the SM domain. And now here's a sample of the summary that Eric mentioned. And again, we definitely went over in more detail in the 101 pitch. And in this summary, it basically confirms what we know, that the above the line, currently SOS above the line, is flagged as yes. And some other things you want to keep track of here is, well, how much DSA am I working with? And I can tell that they have an EDSA limit of 150 meg. And then this EDSA total is only 149 meg. And what that tells us here, if you remember from Storage 101, we hand out extents above the line at a 1 meg boundary. So whenever an extent's handed out, it's at a minimum of 1 meg. It can be greater if the request is for more than 1 meg. So in this case, this tells me that I have 1 meg of unallocated EDSA that I've not handed out yet. So that also kind of tells me in the back of my head that the request, since I'm short on storage, the request for storage must be greater than 1 meg, otherwise I would have been able to satisfy it with this particular meg. So now we're going to go look at and want to focus on the DSAs for above the line. So moving on to slide 17, what we've done here is we're just giving you a portion of the individual summaries of the DSAs. And what we focus on are the size, which is the size, which would be the number in meg that's been allocated to that particular DSA. Then the next thing we kind of keep track of is something called the current free space. And what's interesting about the current free space is that is not contiguous. That just means the accumulation of all the different free areas and all the different extents. Okay? Then what's more important, kind of, is the largest free area, because that means it's the largest contiguous area. And that, again, that's what KIPS is going to look at to see if it can satisfy a request. And then, of course, one other bit of information is a flag, basically, that's indicating currently SOS, yes or no. So those are kind of the four pieces we pull out under each individual summary, and that's what we're showing you here on slide 17. So when we look at this analysis, what this tells us here is the ECDSA, okay, now remember I had 150 meg EDSA, and here this is showing my ECDSA has about 101 meg allocated to it out of the 150. That kind of stands out, right, as the majority. But if you notice, the ECDSA is not currently SOS. That simply tells me the request for storage right now is not, you know, coming out of the ECDSA. The EUDSA is flagged as SOS, so that just means some task has done a get main for greater than a meg, and, of course, it cannot be satisfied looking at these values, and so we're SOS. But our focus out of this, right, is going to be now understanding the usage in the ECDSA. So moving on to slide 19, as Eric mentioned, since this is the ECDSA, we're going to kind of jump down in Storage Manager output and focus on the domain subpool summary associated with the ECDSA. Now, that's one of the largest DSAs that contains many, many, many subpools, and a lot of them that KIPS uses. And all I'm showing you here are the ones that we have flagged as the problem. So we're just giving you a very – I think they're alphabetically listed. And anyway, what we've done is in this display, we paged down and we focused on the far right column, the page STG. And that tells you how much storage has been allocated to that particular subpool. And so remember I had 101 meg allocated to the ECDSA. And when I looked at this, I found that a subpool called TS Main has approximately 79 meg of that 100 meg. So that's why it stands out. And there's also another subpool called TSTSI that had over 9 meg. So those two are what I focused on, and on there you'll see that the subpool names sometimes are meaningful and sometimes aren't, but if you go to the performance guide, they will tell you at least or try to describe how they're used. And here we've put out that information at the bottom of this slide, and basically these two subpools involve temporary storage, okay? And together, when you add these two temporary storage subpools, it's about approximately 87 meg out of the 101 meg that was allocated to the ECDSA. So, you know, now we have to try to, you know, understand, you know, is that normal? Is it not normal? It certainly doesn't look normal to us. And so, you know, this is where we'd be focusing kind of our attention. Now, moving on to slide 21, at this point, because I know it's temp storage, I know I have a temp storage domain. So I kind of take a jump to go try to take a closer look at temp storage by going to the temp storage domain. But just so you know, another way I could have done it is I could have continued looking in SM output, and I could have gone down looking at the specific control blocks for these different subpools. But in this case, we just took a jump over to the temp storage domain summary output. And so on slide 21, this is what we're showing you here, is we've gone to the TS domain. And at the top, like all of our domains, we have nice summary information. And to try to answer that question, because I don't know what's normal for this region, I go look at the statistics. And something that stood out to us is highlighted there. The current storage for TS Main is matching the peak storage. Now, typically in any running TIX region or any environment, storage will peak, but it'll go down, right? It'll vary. When I see this, that the peak, the current is matching the peak, that's a kind of an indication that, hey, something's growing, and it's never, you know, going down. That would indicate that we're on the right track and that, you know, we think that this is not normal and this is what's causing the short on storage or leading to it. We showed you a little bit more here. You can go down in temp storage and see what the queue names are as well as the transactions ID that created it. And what we put here and what we noticed is that there seemed to be a lot of queue names beginning with TSQ and some number that were created by a transaction called TSQL, and pretty much the same time. So at this point, you know, my summary would be, or my recommendation would be, one, there could possibly be a loop of this transaction, TSQL, or possibly it does use, or, it, you know, possibly it made a change recently. But my focus would be to go back to the application owner associated with this transaction, TSQL, and have them examine their code to see if they're writing to temp storage, it's their responsibility to delete it, because that is one area that KIX will not clean up automatically, you know, on behalf of any task. So, you know, that would pretty much be the analysis that we would go back for this example one. And now I'm going to move on to page 23 and let Eric talk about the next example.
So example two, again, we're going to have a dump on the DFHSM033 message. And in this example, what we'll see is your classic where your SOS, due to the volume of the task in the system, which caused an increased storage usage. So going on to slide 24, as before, we're going to start off with the storage domain summary. And here we can see that we are indeed SOS above the 60 megabyte line. The current EDSA limit is 200 meg, and the total is 199 meg. So we still have 1 meg that's unallocated, but we're flagged SOS. And it's just good to have, like before, it's good to have those values in the back of your head so you know how to compare with other values. So going on to slide 25, we're now going to focus on the individual DSAs within the EDSA. And like before, we're going to try to look to see which one is using the most. And this time you can see that the EU DSA has used 153 meg of that 200 meg total, the limit that it had. So that's definitely using the majority of the storage. But this time we also noticed, and I wanted to point out, that the current free storage is 10 meg. So, you know, there is 10 meg free within the EU DSA, but the largest free area is only 192K. So this is evidence of some fragmented storage. to have 10 meg total free, but the largest size being 192K, well, then there must be lots of little pieces of storage that totaled up to the 10 meg that we have free still. And we can also see that the EU DSA is also currently flagged SOS. So the suspect DSA is also the DSA that's been flagged as SOS. So going on to slide 27, because of this fragmentation, I wanted to go back to the extent lists for the EU DSA. We talked about this in Storage 101. And basically, what I wanted to show here was to look to see if there's any fragmentation. And again, I only have a portion of it due to, you know, there was 153 meg, so there'd be many extents, and we just have a few of them listed here. But you can kind of see that the general size of these extents all seem to be about 2 meg in size, and they start off with having 0K free, but then all of a sudden, you know, getting around address 19Baker0000, they start having 192K free. And this pattern kind of continues down through all of these different extents. So this kind of shows the fragmentation and where and why we have 10 meg free within the EU DSA. So going on to slide 29, the next area within the storage domain output is what we wanted to look at was the suspend queue. This bit of information is the only bit of information within that output that is specific for short on storages. Meaning, you know, what you can see here is the, you know, what task number is requesting storage and for what subpool that it's trying to get storage for. And in this case, you can see here that task number 149 is currently trying to get EU DSA storage and the size of the request. Now, that size is in decimal, so when you do some math, it comes out to 1.75 meg of storage is what the request is for, which would require a 2 meg extent. So this kind of goes back and supports our theory that, you know, that there's the request was for greater than 1 meg because that we had 1 meg unallocated. So going on to slide 30, because it is the EU DSA, we're going to get back to that general guidelines I had. Since we know it's task storage, we're going to go look at the task subpool summary. And the first thing you look at when you're in the task subpool summary is, well, how many tasks are currently in the system? And in this case, it's 103. And that number includes system tasks as well as user tasks. And this is where you have to kind of have a knowledge of what is normal in your systems. You know, 103 tasks could be normal for some people, and for other KIX regions, that could be quite abnormal. And in this case, that is abnormal. We don't normally have 103 tasks running in a system. So, like before, when you look at the domain subpool summary, you're going to want to focus on the kind of scan down the page storage column and look to see if there's any values that stand out or, you know, are greater than others. And for example, you know, what we see here is as we scan down this column, we start seeing these 1,920K sizes, and they all seem to be associated with this set one transaction under the transaction column. And when you go through that whole subtask couple summary, we find that there were 76 of these set one tasks, and they each have 1,920K of storage. And when you total that all up, that came to 142 meg of storage. So if you remember from before, it was using about 153, and 142 has been spread out throughout these 76 set one transactions. So now I'm kind of suspect of the volume of the tasks as being the problem. So going on to slide 32, we're going to look at the XM domain because this is our transaction domain. And just to kind of get an idea of you know, what's normal, what's not normal, just like how Sarah showed you with the temporary storage domain. So what we see here is, you know, max task is set to 150, and, you know, we're currently not at max tasks, but we do notice that the current active user tasks equals the peak active users tasks. And like before, usually you hit your peak and then you come down from that. And what this kind of indicates is maybe we are constantly growing and we're, you know, that's indicative of a problem. You normally don't see your peak equaling your active total. So going on to slide 34, now that I know that the volume of these tasks is probably the problem, I wanted to look at the dispatcher summary to understand, well, what are these tasks doing in the system right now? We had the 76 set ones that are tying up 142 mega storage. Well, what are they doing? Are they running? Are they suspended? If they're suspended, what are they suspended for? And this output will tell us that. So what we see here, you can see that the resource type column, that's the type of the suspend. If you're suspended, that's what it's suspended for. And then a resource name. It also tells us that the time of the suspend. And over in the right-hand column, the most right-hand column, you can see the task number. So with the, if you know what time the dump was taken, that's how you can kind of compare as to, well, how long have they been suspended for? So what we saw here was that the dump was taken at 18:29:46 GMT time, and the time of suspend for a lot of these set once tasks were, you know, some as far back as 10 minutes. So we have tasks that have been sitting in the system for 10 minutes just suspended. So when we look at what it was suspended for, we see that it was in the socket receive wait. So basically these tasks have done some type of socket send, and we're waiting to receive a response back. And another thing you can also notice is, remember from that suspend queue, there's currently a task that was suspended for EUDSA. Well, there it is also listed in this output. You can see that task 00149 is suspended for EUDSA. So going on to slide 36, to kind of summarize this example, this dump showed us that we were SOS in the EUDSA, and it was due to increased or large number of tasks that were in the system. And when we investigated this, we found that they were suspended trying in socket receive waits, waiting to hear back from somebody. So to address this type of scenario, the first thing you'd want to do is address the socket receive. You'd probably want to see whether there are any type of network problems at that same time, or the clients that these transactions work with, were they having a problem? That's probably the most ideal solution, is addressing the socket receive. But if that's something that you don't know, if there's any network problems or what caused this backup, a way to kind of prevent kicks from going SOS is, well, you can throttle the number of the set one transactions. You can put it in a T class, and therefore you can limit the number that are in the system at once. So we saw, I think it was 76. Well, you could maybe reduce that down to 40 or something like that, and therefore that transaction wouldn't cause you to go SOS. And then a third thing you could do to help address this situation would be to increase the amount of your EDSA. The EDSA limit was set at 200 meg. Well, maybe you could increase it to 400 meg or whatever is available. And that would help, but if you didn't have any type of throttling on the number of tasks, or if your max task was higher, you could still end up using all your storage. You're just kind of delaying when the problem actually occurs. So going on to slide 37, Sarah's going to go through our third example.
So the first two, we, you know, had dumps from our storage manager message. In this case, the operator just gets a complaint, starts getting complaints from users that their terminals are hanging or they're getting no response from Kix. So the operator, you know, notices that Kix is short on storage, or he may or may not, but bottom line, he takes a console dump. We always like you to take a dump at the time of the hang before you do anything. So in this case, he takes a console dump. So moving on to 38, so this is business as usual. We start out in SM. But here, I didn't know where I was short, so, you know, I've really got to utilize my storage manager output, and I noticed I'm not short above like we were in the prior two, but I've gone short on storage below the line. So in this case, I'm dealing with a 5 meg DSA, and all of the 5 meg has been allocated. And I'll remind you that below the line, the DSA extents are handed out in 256K or quarter meg chunks. But in this case, all of it's been handed out to the various DSAs, and I'm short on storage. So moving on to slide 39, now we still gather that individual DSA summaries. And when we look at this, what stands out is the shared DSA, SDSA. Out of the 5 meg, the SDSA has 3 1/4 meg. When you look at his current free space, it's very small. The total free space is only 92K, and the largest free area is 44K. Again, fairly small. And the other thing to note is that the SDSA is also flagged as short on storage. And, you know, the other DSAs, when you look at them, look pretty good. Now, one thing I just noticed when I looked at this output, the current free space for the UDSA, when I said that we handed out in 256K chunks, I was just looking at that saying, well, I have a lot of free area up in the current free space for the UDSA, over 256K. But this particular case, I have transaction isolation active. And so, anyway, transaction isolation does put a little bit of a loop in it when it comes to task storage below the line. I hand 1 meg. If you notice, the UDSA has a total of 1 meg, and that 1 meg is contiguous that he puts out there for the UDSA when transaction isolation is active. So that was just something I noticed that threw me for a minute. But anyway, we're going to now want to focus on the storage usage in the SDSA. So moving on to slide 40, we're going to jump down to the domain subpool summary. In this case, we're going to look at the SDSA. And I'll tell you that the SDSA doesn't have nearly as many subpool names or subpools associated with it like the CDSA and ECDSA. And so here we were able to show you a few more of the subpool names on the left. And again, you kind of jump to the far right and focus on that page storage column. And we're trying to understand who owns the majority of this 3-plus meg storage. And again, we find one that stands out, and the subpool's called SMSHRU24. When I looked that up in the performance guide, that I find it's used for many different control blocks of shared user 24 class storage. And what that tells me is it is task related, but it has to do when a task does a get main with the shared option. So that's why I can't associate it with a normal check zone and task number, because it's shared. I have to put it over in this DSA. So moving on to slide 41, unlike the 10th storage one, I don't have a shared domain to go look at to try to understand this, you know, this storage usage in this SMSHRU24. So now I have to kind of dig down further into my storage manager domain. And if you remember from the storage 101, every subpool that Kix knows about kind of has a mother control block called a subpool control area, or SCA. So the first thing I do after now in IPCS is I would do a find on SCA dot, in this case, the subpool name, SMSHRU24. That's going to take me down to his elements and allow me to see kind of the, you know, see if I see a pattern, if I see one huge size. But once I get down there, underneath the SCA is what we find these SCEs, okay, storage element descriptors are called. And basically now you're just scanning and looking at these various SCEs, and there's four words, addresses underneath them are four words. The third word is the actual address of the storage element, and the fourth word is what we kind of focus on, because that's the size, okay? And when we did this in this scenario, we noticed a pattern of sizes repeating. We saw a size, and these are hex, 4310, and then Baker 660, and then 4310, Baker 660. So we saw this definite pattern that caught our interest. But again, I have no way of knowing what task it's associated with, because we don't, Kix doesn't keep track of that because it's shared. So moving on to 43, page 43, remember the SDSA happened to be who was also flagged short on storage. So because of that, I'm kind of interested in that suspend queue that Eric had mentioned. And, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and find a task requesting one of these size lengths right now. So sure enough, there's a task 122. And if you look at the subpool, I'm excited because it is the subpool that we're interested in, this SMSHRU24 out of the SDSA. Then the request can confuse you at first because we like to confuse you because everything's hex, right? But no, this is decimal. So, you know, you first look at 46688 and think, well, that doesn't match my, you know, either one of my sizes. But when you convert that to hex, you will see that it is a Baker 660. So now I feel like I have a task that I'm, you know, really, really interested in and feel like he's the one that's been possibly doing these shared get mains. So now another, there's all different directions you could take right now, but what we're going to do is we're going to go on slide 44 and we're going to take you to the PG domain, the program domain. Because I have a task that's currently suspended doing a get main, I want to go see what programs are associated with them. So in the PG domain, if you do a find on the task number, in this case 00122, that'll take you down and it will show you the current programs that have been linked to for this task. And in this case, we only had one program, so now I'm very suspect that, you know, this program's the one doing the get main. His program name is called below. The level one tells me that's logical link level one, and there is no other. Basically, one thing I want to grab from him is the LD or load address. This is where he's loaded, okay? And the reason I'm doing that is a lot of times applications, you know, a lot of the regions, they run, they never run into SOS. And then, oops, all of a sudden they get an SOS. And a lot of times that can be directed back to a recent change that's been made. So once I kind of have a suspect program, I like to go to browse mode on page 45, and I will go into browse, and I will basically look at that address where he's loaded. And the reason we do that, a lot of times there's an eye catcher that's going to have a compile date. And sure enough, in this case, when we displayed the below in browse mode, we found it had a date of July 8th, 2011. Then I would do the IPSTSys command and to see when my dump was taken, get the date and time. And sure enough, the SOS occurred on July 10th. So, you know, this definitely shows me that this program, you know, at least has been recently compiled. So moving on to 46, to basically just summarize, you know, in this dump, we saw the pattern of storage was in the shared DSA, specifically subpool SMSHRU24, which I know is for get main shared request. We were able to identify a transaction that matched the get main, one of the sizes that we saw, and the PG, we were able to see that the program was called below and was recently compiled. So now I would kind of put it back into the application owner's hand, and I would remind them that shared get main is not freed by Kix. Again, it's one of those things that it's really up to the application logic to be sure that they go ahead and clean up that storage to try to prevent any buildup. So hopefully those three examples, I know they're, you know, maybe a little bit on the simplistic side, but hopefully they give you some ideas of steps to take when trying to analyze short on storage. Now we're going to go to move to slide 47 and just touch on some parameters.
Yep, so the last thing today we're going to talk about are some storage tuning parameters that do affect storage that. And these ones aren't your obvious ones like your EDSA limb and your SIP. So the first one we're going to talk about is the task data loc. And this is actually an attribute on your transaction definition. So this is a transaction level attribute. So basically what task data loop tells us is that it tells Kix where to put control blocks it obtains for task storage, such as the EIB, TCA, or the TWA. And the default is below. So, you know, if all the programs associated with that transaction are 31-bit addressable, then there really is no reason to be specifying a below, and you should specify any, and therefore these control blocks that Kix will get main above the 16-megabyte line. And then the next attribute I want to talk about is the data location, and this is on the program level. So this will tell Kix where to obtain storage on exec Kix commands that have a set option. And again, like task data loop, the default is below. So, you know, if you're defining a new program definition and it's a 31-bit program, then you should probably specify any so that the storage is getting above the line.
The next two we want to just touch on are SIP parameters, auto DST and REWA pool. So auto DST, this is where LE, language environment, is keeping track of the storage usage for each program. And really both of these are more for performance, meaning storage is kept track of and then in hopes to reduce the number of get mains that need to be issued. So again, for AutoDisk, LE is who is keeping track of how much storage is used per program. And basically, it will then the next time, once it accumulates the number of storage requests, it will now only do one get main the next time for this larger amount. And that all sounds good, but the reason we bring it up is because we've seen short on storage conditions because this value never decreases, okay? And so where it works really good is if you have a real consistent program flow that uses the same amount of storage over time, all the time. If you have one that gets thrown in there that takes a different path that for some reason needs a lot more storage, that's the new high watermark, okay? Now every time this simple transaction goes, it's going to get main, LE is going to get main that high watermark. And so that's where I guess we've seen it, cause an SOS. And on the notes page, you'll find we've referenced a tech note that talks about that a little bit more. REWA pool, now this is where Kix is keeping track of a history of linked to programs. And again, it kind of works the same way. It's to reduce the number of get main requests. But if you don't have a real common path of storage usage, it can cause adverse get mains as well. And then the next thing we just want to touch on, we don't see this a lot anymore. We saw it at first, was, just talking about LE runtime options. I want to make sure everybody's aware that there is a transaction called CLER, and it's provided by Language Environment in a group CEE. And basically that allows you, in an online system to view the Language Environment region runtime options. And sometimes that's helpful. I think it even lets you change a few of them. And so I just mentioned three here that kind of deal with storage. All 31, of course, today's environment, we want to see all 31 on, allowing LE to use more, storage above the line versus the finite amount below. Then, heap and stack. Heap deals with working storage. Stack deals with the save areas. And sometimes we've seen where maybe even on a new ZOS release, an upgrade, all of a sudden the batch options are used, which have much larger initial values for heap and stack. And on the notes page, you'll see, kind of what the recommended settings are. 4080, typically what in the Kix environment we see. And again, we just mention those as because they do affect storage and, the amount of storage that gets allocated in the Kix environment. So, moving on to slide 50, basically here are just some additional resources and links that you may have seen already, you may find useful that we wanted to point out to you. Eric and I hope this has been useful for you guys, and we're going to turn it back over to Joseph for now.
Thank you, Sarah and Eric, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Christy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Sorry, no questions.
Thank you, Christy. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.